Progress. Welcome everyone to the Newsman. Baruch Shechianu v'kiyamanu v'gianu l'zman hazeh. So we are going to continue what we were talking about towards the end of last month, the topic of hashgacha. And it's hashgacha that we're going to talk about hashgacha this week, because this week is Parshas Bo, and the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo has a very, very famous and difficult, but extremely fundamental discussion about hashgacha in general. And we're going to have a chance to read it this week. And in preparing for today's shiur, I had a new mahalich, a little bit of a new mahalich. So I'm excited to share that with you. So if you turn to your source sheets, before the break, we were learning about the Rambam sheet on Hashgacha, which, as we saw, was pretty complex. And the Ramban is also pretty complex. It's very, very hard to figure out what he actually holds, because, as we'll see, there seem to be stiras. We're going to make a suggestion about possible resolutions, but there do seem to be stiras. But before we begin, just to appreciate how important the topic of Hashgacha is, take a look at the Ramban's Hakdama to Iyov, which you have over here. The Ramban understands, actually, like we saw in the Rambam, that much of Sefer Iyov is about Hashgacha. And it's the back and forth, the debate between the different people relate to the nature of Hashgacha. So the Ramban in his Hakdama writes as follows: Davar Yadua, ki ha'amuna b'yadiyas ha'kel yisbarach b'mine ha'shfalem v'yishayim v'ashgachaso b'chlalam uv'pratam pinos gedolos mitoros Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha'shalom. So Hashem's knowledge and awareness and Hashgacha is one of the fundamental principles of Torah. Ki ha'kofer b'zeh, kofer b'tor b'chlal, someone who denies Hashgacha is denying Torah entirely. V'chein ha'kofer b'hashgacha sh'yomer she'en abori mashgiach b'bnei adam im yasu tova o ra, someone who says God isn't involved, it doesn't matter, a person does good, bad, God is uninvolved. V'im yashgiach yasigem davar ha'kol mikre lahem, and things that happen in life, it's just mikre, it's happenstance, it's teva, it's the way of the world. Lo b'chafetz, not because God willed it. Now, this is absolute kfira. And accordingly, someone who denies Hashgacha has no chelik in olam haba. The lo zichron utstaka b'torah, lo b'mitzvoseha, the lo b'yudeyam. Here he goes even further, which raises an interesting point, maybe not for today, but he says that it's not just that he doesn't get Olam Haba. He has no schus for the mitzvos that he did. In other words, a person who does mitzvos but doesn't believe that has denies Hashgacha. Sorry about that. So someone like that, there's no schus even in their mitzvos. Which is an idea that the Rambam also writes in his Hakdama to Perek HaChelek. Ki lo yechuvan eleihem, because yechaven eleihem, he doesn't. Interesting. How do you translate that? He's not mechaven to mitzvos, I think, is probably what it means. And actually, it's I think maybe it's a it relates to a point that we'll see in a moment in the Ramban in this week's parsha. The Ramban in this week's parsha writes, and we'll read it inside in a moment, that when a person does a simple act, even like spending a zuz on a mezuzah. The price of mezuzah seems to have gone up since the time of the Ramban. And you simply buy a mezuzah, you put it on your door. So what you're doing is you're declaring your belief in God, his existence, his hashgacha. And therefore, the Ramban specifically says, we're going to read it inside in a moment, that if you do mitzvos and you're machaven aleihem, right, you're machaven to the idea of the mitzvos. In other words, if you do a mitzvah without thinking about it, if you have a mezuzah on your door, but you never think about, why do I have a mezuzah on a door? What does it represent? So then the truth is that that mitzvah doesn't accomplish very much because it's just a piece of scroll of parchment on your door. But if you think about what a mitzvah is, so then every mitzvah, even the quote unquote small mitzvahs, are so meaningful, are so powerful. On the other hand, this fellow who doesn't believe in Ashgacha, so then, and he doesn't believe in, so his doing of mitzvos is meaningless, right? If putting up a mezuzah declares my belief in God and his involvement in the world and the truth of prophecy and the like, and I put up a mezuzah, but I don't believe in, let's say, his involvement in the world, so then that mitzvah isn't accomplishing the goal of the mitzvah. And therefore he's saying it's worthless. Vaflo b'nevua, someone who denies prophecy is clearly, denies providence is clearly denying prophecy. Why? Because the Torah is full of descriptions of providence. Someone who says God isn't involved in the world is saying, I don't believe in Torah at all. Ki ha-nevua hashkacha gedola b'emes. And the truth is, he's saying that nevua is hashkacha gedola b'emes. So we're going to see what the Ramban means more over here. But the point is certainly very, very important, which is that to deny hashkacha is heresy. No chelek in olam haba, no schar to your mitzvos. So the question, though, that we really want to talk about is, no question that the Ramban believes in hashkacha, but we want to try to figure out whether the Ramban endorses a all-encompassing hashkacha, the idea that everything is hashkacha, or not. And what makes this tricky is that there are differing mashma'uyos in different places, and therefore what we really need to do today, it's hard work, is to read through different passages in the Ramban and see if we could figure out how to be miyashiv them. So to make things a little easier, there's going to be four passages that we're going to focus on, and I labeled them on your sheets, P1, P2, P3, and P4. There are other ones as well, but those are going to be our focus. P1 and P2 imply an all-encompassing hashkacha, while P3 and P4 portray a more limited hashkacha. So we'll start with the Ramban in this week's Parsha from the end of Parsha's Bo. The beginning of this Ramban we're going to skip, though it's very fundamental. This is a Ramban that I think it's kedai to learn every year. Every year at Parsha's Bo, you should reread this Ramban because it's so, so fundamental. And the Ramban begins by discussing the purpose of the Makos. You know, I think sometimes we think about the purpose of the Makos. Maybe the Makos are meant to facilitate the Exodus, to allow the Jews to leave because Paro is refusing. But that doesn't seem like it's correct because Adarab Hashem hardens Paro's heart. Maybe the purpose is to administer justice upon the Egyptians who were evil. And that's certainly part of it. But if we look at the Makos, we see that that's not the whole story either. The psukim, again and again before the Makos, say things like, Leman teidun ki ani Hashem. Leman teidun ki ani Hashem bekarav haaretz. Leman teidun ki ein kamoni b'chol haaretz. All these psukim are saying that the purpose of the Makos is in order that you know that I exist, that I'm involved in the world, bekarav haaretz, not just God of the heavens who's abandoned the earth, but someone who's intimately involved in the earth, that there's no other power besides me, and kamoni b'chol haaretz. The purpose of the Makos were to show the world in a clear and definitive way that God exists. And because Hashem doesn't do these types of overt miracles in each and every generation, so therefore he made it clear once in history that this was true, in a way that nobody could deny. And that was so important because in the ancient world, as well as in today's world, there are people that deny God's existence or that acknowledge his existence but deny Hashgacha. They think that he's uninvolved in the world. The Makos showed the truth of all these in addition to showing the truth of prophecy, because they were predicted by Moshe. And that's why the Ramban says that there are so many mitzvos that are intended to remember the Exodus. Why? Because since he doesn't do this in every generation, we have to remember it and pass it on and transmit it to the next generation and to the next generation. The Ramban then writes that in a sense, the whole purpose of creation and the purpose of mitzvos is for us to acknowledge his existence. Now, that's an important idea, which perhaps we should devote an entire shir to, an important question of the purpose of creation and the like. But that is a major thing. And Ramban says that's why we daven, and we daven out loud, and we daven in a shul. Why? Davening in shul is a funny thing, right? Davening is a very personal thing. Why do we go to shul to daven? So the answer is because when we go to shul, we publicly declare our belief and our faith in his existence and his providence and the like. We're not just shy and quiet about it, but we publicly declare it. And that's done through so many mitzvot. So that's the context of this Ramban. And now the Ramban, again, we're not going to read all of it inside. Skip to where it says, towards the bottom, Umin Hanisim Hagadolim. This is the line that we're going to focus on. Umin Hanisim Hagadolim Hamefursamim Adamode Benisim Hanistarim Shem Yisod HaTorah Kula. From the great and obvious miracles, a person acknowledges the hidden miracles that are the basis of the entire Torah. So from acknowledging and remembering the 10 plagues, the Kriyas Yamsuf, so we come to a place where we're makir the Nisim HaNistarim. She'en lo Adam chelak b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. Ad shenamin b'chol dvareinu u'mikreinu. Shekulam Nisim. Ein bam teva minhago shel olam. A person has no chelek in Toras Moshe until he believes that all things, and this is going to be the key line, b'chol dvareinu u'mikreinu, everything that happens to us, shekulam nisim, they're all nisim. Ein bahem teva u'minhago shel olam. There is no teva whatsoever. Bein b'rab and bein b'yachad, and that's especially important. This is true not just for Klal Yisrael, but for the individual as well. Elim yasem mitzvos yatzlichenu scharo, bim yavor aleihem yachrisenu ansho. If you do mitzvos, you'll be rewarded. Averos, you'll be punished. Hakol b'gzeres elyon. Everything by God's decree. So the Ramban here sounds like he's advocating a very far-reaching form of hashgacha, by which everything happens by divine decree. We shouldn't see, he tells us, overt miracles as an exception, but rather they demonstrate that Hashem is constantly involved in running the world. Now, there are a number of questions we have to ask. First of all, why is it that overt miracles demonstrate that everything, even that which appears to be natural, is in fact miraculous? Why is this so? Maybe I could argue that, yes, the miracles of the Exodus were, in fact, miraculous. They were a demonstration of God's control and his power. But he doesn't always do constant miracles. Maybe miracles are the exception. Sometimes, for whatever reason, God chooses to intervene. But most of the time, he lets things run their course. So I think the Ramban is addressing this in the next line. And he says, you're right. It's not just the plagues. But we see this further in the way God relates to the world generally. V'yisparsimu anisim anistarim b'inyan harabim, kasher yavo b'yehudei ha-Torah b'inyan habrachos v'aklalos. So we see this concept of the nes nistar towards the rabim. Now that's interesting, right? Because when the Torah promises schar in olam hazeh for doing the right thing, those promises are directed towards the rabbim. If you read Parshas Bechukosai, let's say, or Kisava, or other places, the Torah does indeed promise prosperity for those who do that which is right. You'll have bounty and protection from your enemies, and so on and so forth. But those parshios seem to be addressing the rabbim. Nevertheless, they are nisim nistarim. Kimo she'amar kasov ve'amra gayim al me asas shem kachal aretz hazos. That's actually an example of where the opposite is the case, where Jewish people were wicked, and therefore they were punished. They were attacked and defeated, and their land laid waste, and the nations around say, wow, look what Hashem did. It's because they abandoned HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She is parsem hadavar l'chol ha'umos shehu me'es Hashem ba'on sham. It becomes clear to the whole world that this punishment was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'amer b'kiyum v're'u kol ame ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikra alacha v'yir'u nimeka. So both when we do what's right and we do what's wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards us, punishes us as a nation. And this is something that everybody in the world can see and recognize and appreciate. So what do we have so far? We definitely have the idea in the Torah that there is hashgacha, klalus, as it were, on the nation as a whole. When the nation does what's right, they're rewarded. When they do what's wrong, they're punished. And we have these nisim hagluyim, like Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the Ramban, from those two points, extrapolates a broader principle, seemingly, where he says everything is hashgacha. And the Ramban uses a very strong language. He says that someone who denies this, someone who accepts the idea of Tav as no chelek in Taras Moshe. And so we need to understand how exactly he knows this and what does it mean. So we're going to look at now P2. Here he says a lot of the same things as he says in Parshas Bo. This is from the Drashas Tars Hashem Tamima. But he says it a little more expansively. So we'll read this inside. I think it gives us a little bit more insight. This can be found in the Kisvei HaRamban. And it's a beautiful, beautiful drasha that really deals with many, many important yesodos. And we're going to obviously focus on the aspect of hashgacha now. The nachzor l'inyanenu, shehainu hayinu bo levayr, ki anisim morim al hachidosh v'al hashgacha v'al yediya. The idea of Nisim demonstrate God's having created the world. In other words, a rejection of the Aristotelian notion of the eternity of matter. And Hashgacha, he's involved in the idea that he's aware of what's going on. Ratzal Omar, Yediyas HaPratim. In other words, it's not just general knowledge, as some philosophers claimed, but particular knowledge. He knows all the details. Obviously, to do hashgacha, you need yediyah. Mipnei shanis magdolim mefursamim hamishatkim ktane amana einam nasim b'chol dor v'chulei. Since the great miracles that quiet ktane amana don't happen frequently, al kein tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu laso zecher l'nisim tamid. Therefore, he instructed us to make to remember nisim. We're so machmir about eating chametz on Pesach or not fulfilling the carbon Pesach. Why? Because these mitzvos are the mitzvos that remember the events that established in a clear-cut, undeniable way God's existence and involvement. V'tziva lichtov ha'inin b'mezuzos habatim. This, he says, also in our parsha, it's an interesting idea. The Ramban assumes that, seems to imply that a mezuzah is in some way zecher liyetzias Mitzrayim, which is not obvious why that should be. Tefillin do mention Mitzrayim, but the mezuzah doesn't. It has the first two parshas of Shema. There are different approaches to understanding this, but for now I think we'll leave it. But something interesting to think about. Ulaniach enyan hakasa b'zro k'neged alev, al rosho k'neged hamoach, merkavas haneshama, tefillin, ulhazkir bo b'chol yom b'fat, we remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every day and every night, the way we paskin. V'yadua, ki osa mitzvah b'lo kavana, omisha lo yizbonin ba, lo asa b'shlemas. So here he's referring back to that idea that we said at the very beginning for the Hakdama to Iyov. A person does a mitzvah without kavana. So he's yotzei, can't say he's not yotzei. But you haven't done it b'shlemas because, well, let's read on. Aval nisbonim ba, kigon kanam mezuzah b'dinar, kava b'pischo, v'niskavein, lehisbonein ba uvinyana. Someone who simply buys a mezuzah and hangs it up and thinks about, why am I hanging up this mezuzah? This mezuzah testifies to the achdus Hashem, to nisim, to hashkacha. Hinei hoda b'yichudu b'chidush ha'olam v'hashkacha. So by simply doing that, you have acknowledged all these truths. Ki yetzias Mitzrayim mor al kol eila al horash lema. Milvad sheyeda ki chesed Elokim rav me'od al osei ritzono. In addition, it also reminds us the tremendous kindness of Hashem that he took us out of Egypt. Chotzianu me'os avdos l'chavod gadol v'schus rav v'schus avosinu akadmoni ha'chafetzim li'yirosu. Hinei. A simple mitzvah like mezuzah, it points to all the basic principles of emunah. V'hinei nizbarer, ki anisim ha'morfor samim, shayu b'yitzis mitzrayim, morim al chidush v'al yediyah v'al hashkacha. V'al kein, it's davinu lasos lahem zikaron, al avanim, b'mezuzas v'psachim, b'yitziyah uvibiyah, uvitfilin, b'rosh, uvizroah, the Kriyashma, Boker Vairev, the Sukkah, the Pesach, the Chain, Kiyotzi, Rze. The Nimtsu, HaMitzvos, Kulam, Chamudos, Meod, the Chavivos. So all the mitzvos are therefore Chamudos and Chavivos. Shakol Sha'a, Sha'a, Adam Roa, O Oso, Son, Model, Elokav. When you do a mitzvah, besides the general value and purpose of the mitzvah, you're acknowledging the truth of God's existence and involvement. And that's a fulfillment of the whole purpose of creation. Same lashon as we saw before. A person has no chelik in Toras Moshe Alav Hashalom. Until you acknowledge that everything that happens are nisim. Because look, the Yehudim, all the rewards or punishments of the Torah are nisim, right? The idea that there's no natural connection between agricultural prosperity and observance of mitzvos. So the fact that they're connected indicates that this idea of nisim is done. And now he's going to say something which is going to be very important for our understanding. Ki rov bnei adam sfurim she'ein hakel po'el tamid b'nisim el olam k'min hago noheg. Most people don't believe in this, actually, he says. Most people think that, generally speaking, olam k'minhago noheg, there are no nisim. V'chein svarim svarim rabim ha'chachamim bali ha'iyon. Many philosophers thought this. V'harav, meaning the Rambam, mechlalam, he was amongst them. וכשאינו מעיינן יפה אנו רואים שאין לאדם חלק בתור עצמו של רבינו עליו השלום, עד שיאמן שכל דברינו מעשינו כולם ניסים, אין בהם טבע מן הרגש של העולם. כי אם נאמר שהטבע הוא מחלקל הכל, והוא פועל בעולם, if you think it's טבע that's controlling things, לא מייס אדם לא חיה בעבור בעבור זכוס וחובה, then nobody would live or die based off of their זכויות or חובות. ואחר שנאמין, כי הכל הכריס זה העובר בטרם בא יום מו בטבע. When a person believes, no, this guy died younger than he should have because of his עבירות, הנה יד השם עשה זוזוס ושינה עשה טבע כקריאס ים סוף. בעצם it's the same nace as קריאס ים סוף. לפי עדוסו ותביעס אויביו בתוכו. There's no fundamental difference between someone who eats truma, so he's chayav mis b'dei shamayim, and so he dies young, and kriyas yam sof. It's the same thing. It's a violation of teva. It doesn't really matter which one it is. They're identical. V'achar shenamin ki akel hichris ze ha'ovir b'tayim bo yomo b'teva hine yad Hashem asis azos v'shina teva k'kriyas yam sof lefnei adaso v'tviyas oivav b'socho. Likewise, the psukim that say that it'll rain if you do what's right, yiftach Hashem l'chaso taro atov, etc., etc. All these things point to the same point. Okay, so that's what he says. Now, what's so interesting over here? So, the sounds like, again, that the Ramban is saying that everything is hashgacha. So maybe that's what he's saying. So the problem with that is that there are other statements in Ramban that seem to contradict this. For example, the Ramban elsewhere indicates that Jewish people have more hashgacha than non-Jews. Eretz Yisrael has more hashgacha than Chutzlarts, Eini Hashem Elokecha Ba, Mereishis Hashan Ad Ach Rishana, that pasuk, Eini Hashem Elokecha Ba, indicates a higher level of Hashgacha. Tzadikim, as we'll see in a moment, have a greater Hashgacha or Shmira than other people. So, once I start saying that there's more Hashgacha in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't that say that there is such a thing as Teva? That not everything is Hashgacha? If everything is Hashgacha, then you can't start distinguishing between Hashgacha in different places, different people. So let's now look at some of the statements in Ramban that imply more limited hashgacha. So we'll turn to P3. This is a pasuk where Hashem is addressing Avram Avinu. The pasuk says, ki yadativ, because I know him, I know Avraham. And it's a hard phrase to translate. What does it mean, yadativ? It doesn't just mean that, like, Hashem knows Avram Avinu. Yes, Tyler?
Why can't we distinguish between hashgacha?
I don't understand the question.
We just said that if Hashem is more hashgacha for tzaddikim or in Eretz Yisrael, that shows that there's not hashgacha elsewhere. Did we just say that?
Well, that it's not equal hashgacha. If you could have more hashgacha here than there, that would seem to imply that not everything is absolute hashgacha. If there's everything is equal absolute hashgacha, then you couldn't start saying, well, there's more hashgacha here than there, right?
Right. Okay.
That's the question that we need to work on. So again, the pasuk says Hashem says, you know, to Avram ki yadativ. So what does ki yadativ mean? So the Ramban writes, start from where it says v'hanachon be'enai shehi yadia bo mamish yirmos ki yadias Hashem shehi ashkachaso ba'olam ashafel hu lishmor haklalim. So yadia in a sense actually means something. It's literal. The idea that Hashem's knowledge of the world manifests itself on hashgacha, let's say, watching over generalities, lishmor haklalim, right, the rules. V'gam b'nei ha'adam munachim bo l'mikrim ad bo eis pekudasam. And people are left there to mikra, to happenstance, until the day of reckoning comes, In other words, most people are shayach to mikra. Aval b'chasidav, when it comes to his chasidim, and that's what this pasuk is saying, ki yidatev about Avram Avinu, yasume lovli bo ladas oso befrat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows them individually. Leos shmiraso davka botamid, to have constant shmira. Lo tipared hayediyah v'azachira mimenu klal. There's no departure of yediyah, of zachira at all. In other words, the Ramban here implies that hashkacha, with respect to most of the world, is lishmor haklalim, it's general. What does general mean? Hashkacha klalis means that overall there's guidance, but it sounds like he's saying that they're sometimes left to mikra, to chance, to nature, until they're time for punishment or reward comes, till they die. In other words, sounds like Hashem leaves people to the whims of nature. As opposed to the chassid, the tzaddik, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this special shmira for them. And the Ramban shows that's the meaning of this pasuk. He quotes other psukim that support this idea. One of them is Hine Ein Hashem El Yireav. Hashem's eye is upon those who fear Him, which again implies that that there's a special providence to those who are fearers of God. So here again, it actually sounds very much like the idea that we saw in the Rambam before, that there is a higher level of hashgacha for tzaddikim. And this idea is repeated in P4. This is from his Perush on Iyov. He's commenting on the pasuk, Lo yigara mitzadikei nav, Hashem doesn't remove his eyes from the righteous, and which is one of the psukim he quotes over here in Bereishis Yod Ches, and he elaborates it on this in his Perush on Iyov. So let's take a look. Zeh kasav mefaresh inyan gadol binyan hashkacha, uva'u ba'u psukim rabim. Ki anshei haTorah ve'amuna hatzmima yaminu be'ashkacha ki akel yashkiach v'yishmor es anshei min ha'adam. So believers in God believe in hashkacha. Kadosh Baruch Hu is mashkiach and shomer people. K'mo shekasav gadol ha'itzav v'rav ha'alila sh'aynecha pekuchos al kol darchei b'nei adam v'asei slish kidrachav u'kupri me'alav Hashem gives you what you deserve. V'amar David kol levavos doresh Hashem v'chol yeter machshavos mevi. Whereas it comes when it comes to other animals, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only has hashgacha klalis. This is actually this whole much of this paragraph is taken straight from the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, if you guys remember, from 351. Where the Rambam said the same idea, that there's hashgacha for animal, hashgacha klalis for animals, but only hashgacha pratis for humans. And that's why the Rambam, the Rambam says, he's quoting it, you're allowed to kill animals to eat their meat. It's interesting, the Ramban in Bereishis says a slightly different explanation, but I think for now we won't focus on that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to humans, there is hashgacha pratis. It's not just cloth. It's not just general. It's not just concerning the species, but it relates to the individual. Likewise, that's why it's mutter to slaughter an animal as a karban, because there is no hashgacha pratis on animals. And the reason for this is obvious, because the human being, because he recognizes God, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will guide him, will protect him. The low kain shar brios, shenan yodos baros, opposed to other creations like animals that don't have yedias Hashem. Yishmor es tzaddikim, and for this reason, he also protects the tzaddikim. Because their hearts and eyes are with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kein Einei Hashem Aleihem Mereishis Hashana Darach Rishana. So Hashem's eyes is upon them. In other words, all human beings can recognize God, but tzaddikim are further. They are constantly thinking about God, and so Hashem is constantly thinking about them. Ad ki achased agamur adavik beelokav tamid v'lo yipared, such that if you have a tzaddik gamur who is always thinking about God, his mind never wanders from God, hadavik b'machshavto bau b'inyan minyanei ha'olam, yeh nishmar tamid mikol mikra hazman. So such a person will be constantly protected from mikra. In other words, the tzaddik was always thinking about God, so Hashem is always, as it were, thinking about him, and b'meila, he is protected from any form of mikra. Afilu ha'hovim b'tava, even natural things. V'yishtamer mehem b'neis yasubo tamid. He experiences constant miracles. Kilu yachshov mikat alyon, yachashev mikat alyonim, like he's from the upper creations, like an angel. Einam ibnei havaya v'hefzed l'mikra itim. They're not subject to mikra, which relates to, Harry seems to be saying something interesting, that the reason why human beings are subject to mikra, and not just mikra, but to havaya v'hefzed, to deterioration, to entropy, that's because we're physical. A tzaddik who's thinking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu transcends his physicality, and as such is not subject to these types of natural processes, which are natural to physical things, to materiality. V'yishtamer mehem b'neis yasubo tamid, kilu yachashev, I'm sorry, I read that already, avichi ukefi kirvaso lihidabek be'lokav, to the extent that he is midabek to Hashem, yishtamer shmira me'ula, there'll be even a greater level of shmira, v'harachok menakel b'machshavto v'maisav, someone who's further from God, either in his thoughts or his deeds, afilu lo yischayv misa v'chato v'asharchato, even though he's not chayv misa, yeh meshulach v'nezav l'mikrim, he will be abandoned to mikra. Uvob zeh psukim harbe, rabim, there are many psukim that indicate this. Amr David, Ragle Chasidav Yishmar Bereshaim Bechoshech Yidamu. Amr, Ki Akrovim Elav B'tachlas Hashmir V'Rachokim Mimenu, should say Mimenu, Mezumanim LeMikrim. And those who are distant from him are left to Mikra. Ve'en L'Hamatzil Min HaNezek. Ki aholich b'choshech asher nifiloso krova, imo yishtamer b'yelech la'at. Someone, for example, they're walking in the dark, right? So if they don't walk very, very slowly, if they're not very careful, they're going to fall, they're going to trip. Umipnei sherov ha'olam min akas ha'azos ha'emtzayis. Because most people are in that middle category. What does it mean, the middle category? They're not those tzaddikim gemurim who are zocha, because they're always thinking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu to absolute Shmira, Shmir Meula. They're not Rishayim either. They're Beinonim. So because most people are Beinonim, so they're subject to Teva, to Mikra. And therefore, Tzivsa Torah, Hi Chalei Tzanil Chamir. The Torah basically demanded that we do Ishtadlos. For example, with respect to war, the army has to be armed. All those tactics, those military tactics, all that ishtadlos, these types of military tactics, the ambushes that they did, they would do a frontal attack and then come in from the back, surprise. Kegon lechum ashachta b'har tavor v'lakastim chaset zalafim ish ki im reuyim heim yotz im b'me'at gai v'notz chen b'li nashek. If we were worthy, if we were tzaddikim, if we're in that highest elevated level, then we would win without ammunition. We wouldn't need armies. We wouldn't need strategies. V'lo yechayvim b'nitzuach am lo yu'ilu lamo. And if we were deserving to lose, then all the arms in the world won't help. It's a fascinating idea, right? In other words, a person could be in one of three states. They could be worthy of, they could be great tzaddikim, in which case they'll win without any ishtadlus. They could be worthy of destruction, of losing, in which case they'll lose despite all the ishtadlus in the world. And then they could be in that middle category where they are subject to teva, such that if you do ishtadlus, then you'll succeed, and if not, you'll lose. So that's why the Torah demands that we make military strategies and so on and so forth. So, as I said before, a lot of this is taken from the Rambam, and it sounds like very much like Rambam's naturalistic approach. The problem is that we saw before that the Ramban very much rejected the Rambam, right? The Ramban in source number 2, P2, said, he quoted he said there are certain people that, you know, believe in Mikra, that believe in Teva. These people are wrong. They have no chelek b'Toras Moshe. They think that Hashem only occasionally intervenes. Rambam is among those people who think that, and they're wrong. They're wrong. He absolutely rejects that view, and then he quotes it right over here. And not just here, other places. You know, what makes this so striking is that he says both Mahalchim with such vehemence and on so many occasions, it makes it obvious that there is no stira here. Maybe we'll come up with a yishuv, maybe not. But it's not like the Ramban all of a sudden forgot what he said in Parshas Bo when he wrote this. And, you know, he lost his chelek b'Toras Moshe, right? Somehow or another, the Ramban absolutely thought that these statements are compatible. And the question is how. So if we were to sort of summarize our two main questions, though there's much more, it could be like this. In the Drashas Taras Hashem Tamima, that was P2, the Ramban explicitly rejects Rambam's view because Rambam said miracles are exceptional and generally nature is operational. And here in P4, the Ramban endorses that view. That's question number one. Question number two is the Ramban in P1 and P2 writes that anyone who accepts Teva has no chelek b'Toras Moshe, and yet in P3 and P4, he says that tzaddikim, who constantly cleave to HaKadosh Baruch, will be entirely protected from Teva, but it sounds like other people aren't. So those are the kashas. So before...
That's the question?
Yeah.
Is Ramban adopting the opinion of the Kalam that the occasionalist idea that that every single moment there are no natural laws, but the fact that we see what look like natural laws only because God is doing the same thing over and over again? For example, causing fire to be hot again and again and again, even though fire by nature is not hot.
No, there's no evidence of that at all. Now, there's even in P1 and P2, where he's advocating for an expansionist view of providence, he doesn't say anything like that. And certainly P3 and P4 that say that most people are typically left to mikra certainly don't hold to that. So there's no evidence of that.
Because that's the thing that Rambam argues against vehemently, and I'm trying to think what he's referring to that Rambam would hold of.
That's what we're working on. Just wait.
Does Rambam actually have an opinion that Ramban is arguing against that we can point to in the sources?
Yes, that's what we're trying to figure out. So even though, let's before we answer the question, when we first read P3 and especially P4, we said that the Rambam and the Ramban seem to be saying the same thing, that the Ramban seems to be agreeing to the Rambam, especially in P4. But the truth is that if we read it carefully, we see that they're not the same. First of all, certainly P1 and P2 unambiguously contradict Rambam's naturalistic approach. But even P3 and P4 are different from Rambam's approach. And let's think about this because it's a subtle point. In P4, he writes that the tzaddikim, their protection is constant miracles. So the tzaddik is always experiencing nisim, constant nisim. And that differs from the Rambam, I believe, because the Rambam maintains that the absolute protection for the tzaddik takes place naturally. Remember, we read in the Rambam about how the tzaddik will be saved from the shipwreck because Hashem grants him the awareness to not board the ship in the first place. As opposed to the Rambam, the Ramban is saying, no, you know, Hashem will make a nes and save the tzaddik from the shipwreck. So it is true that both the Ramban and the Rambam say that a tzaddik will be saved, will be protected, but in a different way. It seems to me that the Rambam is saying that takes place more naturalistically, and the Ramban is saying that it takes place through constant nisim. To better appreciate this chiluk, we could see another difference between the Ramban and the Rambam. The Ramban in Dvarim Yud Aleph, which you have over here, says something fascinating and shocking. Remember, we talked about how tzaddikim have constant nisim, right? Not Beinonim, but Rishayim do as well. The Ramban writes over here, I'm starting in after a couple words, Ki Hashem lo yasa nisim, tamid, laseis metara, aretz b'chol eis, o yoro malkosh, ulahosef bedagon v'tirosh v'yitzar, ulaharbos gam ha'isem b'sadeh l'behema, o shiatz or hashamayim v'yivshu, rak al maisa rov ha'am. Right? Hashem isn't doing constant tzaddikim when a majority of the people are worthy of bracha, so then Hashem gives that type of bracha. Aval ayachid hu b'shuso yechya v'uba avono yamos. V'hinei, amar b'asosam kol ha-mitzvos me'ava shlema yasu imahem eskol anisim ha'ilu l'tova. V'amar ki ba'avdam avodazar yasa imahem os l'ra. V'da, ki anisim lo yasu l'tova o l'ra'a rak l'tzadikim gemurim, o l'rishayim gemurim. So who has these special nisim, for good and for bad? The tzadik gamor and the rasha gamor. Aval abeinonim, kederach minhako shel olam, yaseh ben tova, o ra'a, kederkam ukali losam. So beinonim don't get nisim. They get derech minhako shel olam. They'll be rewarded and punished. But whereas tzaddikim, so they're gonna have these nisim now and rishayim. So it's very strange. You see, if you took the Rambam's naturalistic approach, that naturally because the tzaddik clings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, zocha to that higher level of hashgacha, so mimela, it doesn't make sense that that would apply to a Rasha, right? Why would the Rasha Gamor be Zocha to Nisim? But the Ramban says that the Rasha Gamor also has that Nisim. So what you see is that for the Ramban, unlike the Rambam, it's not naturalistic. It's supernaturalistic. There's a need for tzaddikim, we understand why. Like the Ramban said, Mita Keneged Mita. The Ramban doesn't say why Rishayim Gemurim also are Zocha to this more miraculous intervention. Might be that Gemara in Erechin we saw a number of weeks ago, that Kol She'avru Alav Arbaim Yom Belo Yisurin Kibel Olamo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu spares Rishayim from Yisurim so that they'll be rewarded for their good deeds in this world. It might also relate to the idea that when you have Rishayim Gemurim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these types of Rishayim often play an important role in Hashem's plans in the world, like Paro in this week's Parsha. So they also are subject to greater Nisim. I don't want to focus on this too much for now. All I want to bring out is the following. The very fact that the Ramban says that special miraculous intervention that tzaddikim have, rishayim also have, shows that this is not naturalistic like the Rambam, but it's supernaturalistic. So now, with that in mind, let's go back to our question. So what have we shown so far? So we had two questions, right? Number one, why does Ramban harshly reject Rambam's view of a limited providence if he himself adopts a view of limited providence? And the answer to this, we said, was that it's a very different type of limited providence than the Rambam, because the Rambam's limited providence is rooted in the idea that God relates to the world and naturalistically, and he denies the concept of constant nisim, as opposed to the Ramban, who says no, that's not true. When the tzaddikim get that shmira meula, it is through constant nisim, and even rishayim do. Whenever there's a tachlis. Okay, so that sort of addresses the first question. But the second question we still have, which is, what does the Ramban mean in P1 and P2 when he says that there's no such thing as teva, right? When he clearly says in P3 and P4 that there is such a thing as teva. So what's the pshat here? So I think the pshat is that teva is not something that is natural. Rather, to use the lesson of the Ramban, Hashem takes people when they're unworthy of nisim, and he throws them off. He allows them to be abandoned to teva. It's almost like a type of onesh. In other words, it's not natural. It's not, and here's where it's so different than the Ramban, right? The Ramban's formulation again and again is that they're ne'ezav lemikrim. They're abandoned to mikra. What does that mean? It means that what is the norm and what is the exception? The norm, the Ramban is saying, for human being is to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not like animals. Human beings have the capacity to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And their norm, in their natural state, human beings are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as such, are zoche to hashkacha and shmira and the like. But when a person goes ahead and they don't live up to their natural state, then they are abandoned, forsaken, and left to mikra. Mikra is not the natural state. Mikra, in a sense, is the exception. It is the onesh. It's the punishment. So now we can understand how to resolve all these statements. The pshat is that someone who believes that mikra is a true force, so they are denying this fundamental principle of the Torah, of hashgacha. It doesn't mean that there's no such thing as mikra. Mikra is a means, if you wish, it's a form of hashgacha. It's a means by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world. Someone who doesn't live up to that state, so then they are left to mikra. But mikra isn't the natural. It's the exception. Now, we're making a subtle point because the Ramban does imply it's more common. Most people are Beinonim, right? It's more common, but conceptually it's the exception because it's not the natural state. You know, to bring this out, you sort of see this in the difference between the Ramban and the Rambam about Yimos HaMashiach. The Rambam writes, Yimos HaMashiach Olam Kiminhago Nahig. The Ramban writes that Yimos HaMashiach, I'm sort of oversimplifying now, but the Ramban writes that Yimos HaMashiach Adiraba, we're going to return to our natural state of supernatural existence, right? It's not going to be olam kiminhago noeg. Teva is the exception. Teva is when we're unworthy of our humanity, and we're left to teva. So it might be the case that the more common modus operandi is teva. That's more common than activist intervention, because most people aren't tzaddikim. But in a conceptual sense, it's a deviation from the norm. And now we see why the Rambam and the Ramban are so fundamentally different. Because the Rambam thinks that hashgacha is a deviation from the norm. And the Ramban thinks teva, or mikra, is a deviation from the norm. So while they both acknowledge that there's hashgacha and teva, and not only that, but they both distinguish between the tzaddik and the beinoni. Nevertheless, from a conceptual perspective, they're saying very different things. That might explain why, on the one hand, the Ramban agrees that there's such a thing as teva, and at the same time, he has such strong words against the Rambam. So that's the basic mahalich. We don't have time now, but I think if you read it carefully, there are a lot of diukim that support this. When the Ramban critiques the Rambam, the words he uses are shumigareya hanisim umagbir hateva. He minimizes miracles and he maximizes teva, and that's the fundamental disagreement. Now, that's, I think, true. But I'd like to perhaps go one step a little deeper and try to understand this on an even deeper level. If you take a look at the last source on your sheet, it's a passage from the Arizal. It's from Sefer Etz Chaim. And he's talking here about tzimtzum. And we don't have time to read it inside. Maybe we shouldn't even be reading it inside. But what he says here is as follows. The Arizal is giving an analogy. We have to remember that these are analogies. These aren't meant literally. An analogy to understand the nature of tzimtzum. So what the Arizal writes here is that to allow for creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamtzim himself. He constricted himself, meaning to say there's no room. Prior to creation, as it were, there was nothing besides Elokus, right? There's no room for anything else to exist. To allow for something to exist, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamtzim himself. And how should we imagine this tzimtzum? So the Arizal says we should imagine in the following sense. Imagine a circle with a dot in the center of the circle. And the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamtzim himself to the center of the circle. Now, why a dot in the circle? He explains, just like there was absolute equality before creation, there was no differences, there was no shinuyim, there was no more God, less God, there was absolutely equality. So too, even following creation, there's absolute equality. And that's depicted by a circle. A circle is defined as a shape in which all points in the circle are the same distance from the center. That's a definition of a circle. It's the only shape, right? In a square, an octagon, everything else, you have the center, and some parts are closer, some parts are farther. Everything is equidistant from the center of this circle. Likewise, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala himself in the world, so he's Mekulam B'Chachma Sisa. He's Megala himself equally, Kulam B'Chachma, in every way. That's the idea that there's no teva. The idea that there's no teva is that the Bria equally expresses Elokus in every single sense. The teva expresses Elokus as much as Nisim express Elokus. That's what they're b'hashuva achas. They're all equal. There's no difference. Teva expresses Hashem, Nisim express Hashem, Nisim Geluyim, Nisim Nistarim. And that's what the Ramban perhaps is saying. To say that one is a greater expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the other is sacrilegious. Emul chilek b'taras Moshe. The Ramban is saying, and let's remember the context of this Ramban. He's talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself through the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he tells us these overt miracles teach us about the hidden miracles. He's not denying Teva. But what he is saying forcefully is that the notion that Teva is less divine, that's what's a problem. Kulam b'chachma sisa. They're all giluyim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're b'hashva achas. They're all the same. There's no difference. There's the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses himself through Nisim is the same as the way in which he expresses himself through Teva or through Nisim Geluyim, through Nisim Nistarim. It's all the same. And someone who thinks that Teva is in some way a true force, it is less godly. It is more, it is real. So they're saying something very, very problematic. The Ramban isn't denying Teva. He's saying that if you believe that Teva isn't the Yad Hashem in the same way that Anais is Yad Hashem, so then you're a kofer. But there is Teva. And B'nai Adam are mushlach l'mikrim, like we said. And here the Ramban is saying, and the truth is that result, they're both saying the same very fascinating point in it. On the one hand, there are many, many madregos, right? There are olamos alyonim and tachtonim. There's atzilos, asiya, bria, yasiya. There's spheros. And the truth is the Ramban elsewhere writes that the difference between anais nigla and anais nister is that they relate to different spheros. We don't have time to explain what that means now, but they relate to different spheros. That's true. We do experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu differently. His existence is expressed more obviously in one plane over another. But on a truer and a deeper level, it's b'hashiva achas. It's that circle whereby everything is the same distance from the circle. And that's the yesod. That's what he's saying. And if you look at it that way, then I think fundamentally there is no difference between what there's each one is mashlam each other, but there's no stira, I should say, between the various different passages that we saw in the Ramban. Okay, I know we're out of time. If there are any questions, I'm happy to take them now. And also, yeah, I'll take your question, Tyler. As I mentioned last week, next week, Be'ezras Hashem, we have a special guest speaker, Rabbi Jachter. Many of you know him. He wrote a book, among other things, on teaching Emuna and communicating Emuna. So he's going to be making a presentation next week on hopefully, A, to be Mechazik our Emuna, and B, also specifically how to teach Emuna, and especially maybe in the high school context. You should all think about in advance questions you'd like to ask him. Maybe questions you've been asked, you want to know how to answer them and things like that. And so Be'ezras Hashem, that'll be next week. And now if anyone has any questions, so go ahead, Tyler.
Hi, so we never spoke about tefillah yet. So where does tefillah come into play with all this?
So it's a good question. We actually did talk about it a little bit last semester. I know you missed it, but Bekitzer, the idea of tefillah certainly acknowledges that there is hashgacha and that tefillah makes a difference. In other words, that by being mispalo, Hashem listens and it has an effect. One way to understand tefillah is that even if a person is mushlach lemikra, by davening, he can get out of that. So while that doesn't absolve the person from the responsibility of hishtadlus, it certainly makes a difference. Yes, Jacob.
I assume like it's also like not all black and white. Like, is there differences between like different levels of tzaddikim? Like some have.
Yes, Ramban, like... absolutely. And you see it in the Ramban, just like the Ramban. But you see it mefurish in the Ramban. He said something like very, very similar to the Ramban. He writes to the point that a person never stops thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so such a person will never be, will have constant protection and be totally saved from Mikra. So yes, you certainly see different Madregos in the Ramban, just like we saw in the Ramban of Tzadikim.
Some people might be thrown to like a little bit of Mikra, but not full, like not fully. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's correct. Okay, yes, Nita.
Well,
no, Tyler, you can go first. Mine's on a totally different topic.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Eitan. Just quickly, we said before that because a human is able to perceive Hashem and understand Hashem more than the animal is, so we're getting more Hashkacha Klalis and Tzaddik more than a human. But there is a nafkamina between a human versus animal and Tzaddik and a human, because a human, by definition, has the ability to, an animal never did.
Yes. Yeah, and that's exactly the point. That's what the Ramban says, that the natural state for a human is this connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and this high level of Hashkacha, as opposed to an animal. So you're absolutely correct. The difference between an animal and a human, the animal has no potential to get there, as opposed to the Tzaddik versus the Beinoni could become the Tzaddik. And in a sense, the Beinoni in his natural state is a Tzaddik. Yes. Eitan or Jacob.
Yeah, Jacob, if it's on the same topic, you can go.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. It's a question more on the Parsha, on the Makos.
Okay.
Like I'm sure there's a lot of discussion on it, but I wanted to hear, I guess, from you. Is there like a specific reason why each Maka needed to be accompanied by a physical action?
You mean to start the Makos?
Yeah, to start the Maka. Meaning if the whole thing is showing Hashem's Hashkafa, right, and Hashem's
Very Maka. Good question. And you find this in other Nevuos as well, that has symbolic acts. That acts on below have an effect in Shamayim. In fact, the Maral explains that's the idea of Simanim on Rosh Hashanah. That somehow or another, because of this connection, so when we have when we do these Simanim Milsa, that it could have an effect. So that's the idea, and he explains that's why prophets also are called to do symbolic acts. It's not just a show. But that's the way in which the physical world relates to higher and more elevated spiritual worlds, is that the actions that we do have an effect. And so that's the way the Maral explains it. But it's a good question that deserves a bigger answer than this.
Would that not be taking away from the fact, like the Ramban that we were speaking about earlier, that the whole purpose of the Makot or whatever was to show Hashem's direct Hashkacha? And I guess from an Egyptian's perspective, they see a physical action coming into it.
Yeah,
like
sure. So the truth is that even in these great Nisim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still left a makom for someone who wishes to harden his heart to be Toeh. And that's why, let's take in the beginning of this week's Parsha, Makas Arba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings it in through a wind and brings it out through a wind. Or Kriyas Yamsuf, right? There's this Ruach Kadim Azah Kol Yom Kol Ayla. Prior, why didn't he just make the sea just split, like in the movies, right? Why this wind, this gale force wind for a long time? So the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu despite doing this, presumably still left room for Bechira, still left room for the person to deceive themselves and deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Paro did. And so, yes, in a sense, it takes away from the nes, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even at this time of tremendous giloy, still left room for Bechira. And that's part of it. Yes, Jacob.
One more question on the Hashgacha. Partly, when Hashem does abandon that person, if they don't live up to their potential of like being davik to him, like can't that also be direct Hashgacha? Like Hashem's choosing to...
Yes, that's exactly the point. The Hashgacha is to leave them to Teva.
Right. Like a kid who like wants to like, is going to put his hand by a fire, like a parent can either yell at them or let them feel it's hot. And like, that's both active Hashgacha. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Everyone Thank should you, have Rabbi. A good Shabbos.
Have a great Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi. Have a great Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.